Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August the 19th in the year of our Lord 2021. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. What are the great peaceful restorative solutions we absolutely still never forget? We still have at our fingertips. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. This is our 25th year in broadcasting, nationally syndicated, if you will, ladies and gentlemen. An incredible milestone, to say the least. Tearing it up, telling the tale of life, liberty, and property, and God, family, and country as we do 6 days a week, 2 hours a day, live on your radio on the Sabbath. We rest. Welcome to LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net, our nationally syndicated radio network. At LovingLiberty.net, you can get our iPhone and our Android apps. They're free for live and on-demand radio at your fingertips. Donations are just a click away. Every penny you give us will be used to grow our presence in the media. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. A quick recap of yesterday's broadcast is in order. We had our guest on, Mr. James Edwards, with us, who talks about race, politics, and hypocrisy in the 21st century. ThePoliticalCesspool.org, he wrote a book called Racism, Schmacism, just saying, hey, if you're white, they're going to call you a racist. He was one of the early realists on that. He really focused on that. And, you know, James is not a racist, ladies and gentlemen. He does advocate for his white European heritage. He has every right to do so. That doesn't mean he downs any other race. Doesn't mean he hates any other peoples under the sun. But he does believe that his heritage is important, his Southern heritage, his European heritage. And I happen to agree that he has every right to have that view. In fact, I'm white and have the same view. That, you know what, I want to celebrate my heritage. And I encourage every other race on the planet to celebrate their godly heritage as well, their history. There's nothing wrong with celebrating our own histories, folks. And there's nothing wrong with the differences in our histories and our heritages. Okay? When can we all just start to realize we're all of the human race, God's race? We're all the children of Almighty God. Let's start to act like it, and the sooner the better, shall we? All right, we talked about the Afghanistan falls to the Taliban, results in a 20-year failure. We're going to get into that a whole lot more today, too, with Eldon Stahl, our esteemed co-host, coming up here in minutes. We also talked about China to recognize the Taliban. Wow. So we can't recognize Taiwan because we're too wimpy, but yet the communist Chinese can recognize the Taliban, huh? Straight out of the gate, terrorists straight up. Wow. All right. Sadly, the U.S. moral high ground completely gone in the United States, as we are a warlike people. The United States has shown time and time and time again that its nation-building policies are an absolute abject failure. Look, we have no business building nations, folks. It is not the role of the United States. National Security Advisor, guy's name is Jake Sullivan. He's whacked out as all get out, but he started the discussion, and now they're admitting more and more and more military hardware, including Black Hawk helicopters and everything else. More and more military equipment has fallen into the hands of the Taliban. We literally have billions of dollars of firearms, and we've armed the Afghan Taliban to the teeth, ladies and gentlemen. Now, they want to blame that on Joe. I don't think that's fair. Let's blame it on both sides of the aisle for decades in the making as they hawkishly promote war in the military-industrial complex everywhere we go, and they've done it for decades, haven't they? Shame on them all, and shame on the Republicans trying to hand this to the Democrats. They're all guilty of sin on this one, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you that right now. That was hour one of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday. Hour two, we talked about Matt Walsh spoke at a recent Nashville school board gathering, and he issued a scathing rebuke of their child mask policy. He said, listen, our kids are wearing muzzles all day like rabid dogs. It's insane. There's no proof that the masks are successful or valuable. ladies and gentlemen, he calls it child abuse. And I basically believe he's right. Good for Matt Walsh standing up. poor, what's her name? Country singer. She got beat up, slaughtered for even liking his rant. Oh, shoot. Anyway, she won American Idol, whatever her name is. Can't think of her. Rip the keen of the side of your Ford, whatever that song is she sings. Anyway, I'll think of it and it'll come to me. Anyway, hospitals, they say, are buckling under the pressure of the Delta surge. Everybody's going to the hospital. The problem is they've lost so much credibility on this hospital discussion, it's beyond imagination. Every time they tell us hospitals are overrun, people go there, take photos, citizen journalists and everything else. Ghost towns. Now, are the hospitals overwhelmed in certain parts? I'm sure they are, ladies and gentlemen. The COVID's serious. The Delta variant, certainly virulent, whatever word you want to use, okay? No doubt. But you know what? This idea that we're going to just say, all you got to do is have the vaccine. Oh my gosh, everybody's going to the hospital. Why don't we talk about and work on and provide solutions so that people don't need to go to the hospital in the first place? What about ivermectin? What about hydroxychloroquine? What about some of these other solutions? Vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, and many of these other solutions. What about oxygen opportunities so people can go on oxygen? We made a big old takeover of the government, force everyone to develop ventilators. Now to have a big who knows where the ventilators went discussion. Then they lie about the hospitals. Their credibility is in crisis, ladies and gentlemen, as they push for the third dose of a vaccine. Well, if the first dose doesn't work, the second dose doesn't work, the third dose surely will. Or will we need a fourth dose? How safe is that? How effective is that really? They don't want to answer the question. They just say they're safe and effective, even though the FDA has not proven such at all. They're under emergency experimental use mode now, ladies and gentlemen, and they're trying to use the third jab. Are you kidding me right now? Texas Governor Greg Abbott, whacked out as he is, he got all vaccinated up and everything else, and then he got the COVID virus right after he got vaccinated. They say he's going to be isolated in the governor's mansion to be treated for his illness, but he's experiencing no symptoms. Why would you be receiving medical treatment if you're not experiencing any symptoms, ladies and gentlemen? How stupid am I, huh? The United States to recommend the booster shots after 8 months. So how really, when we say effective, what does effective mean? If you get a shot, then 30 days later you get another shot, and then a few months after that it's not very effective, the effectiveness drops through the roof. Or drops to the floor from like 95%, they claim, they lie, but they claim that, all the way down to 40, 50%. How, I can flip a coin after 8 months and do better without a vaccine, can't I? In fact, if I get the coronavirus and I don't take the vaccine and I develop natural immunities, how long do those natural immunities last compared to the vaccination man-made kind of, quote, immunities, huh? Huh? They're not talking about that, are they? Why? Why? The unvaccinated, ladies and gentlemen, are not selfish or ignorant. Here's why I'm not vaxxed. It's an opinion written by Suri Kinsberger. And it's a great article from a liberal that I normally wouldn't even agree with. But you know what? They're making a point now. Even liberals are coming out and going, hey, man, you know what? I don't know about these vaccines. I don't know how safe and effective they are. This is a risk-reward analysis. Everybody should be able to decide for themselves. Well, amen to that. We've been saying that for over a year and a half. They say you'll need a mask up on U.S. planes until 2022, though. Yeah, it was going to expire September 13th. They've extended the forced government mandate over the airline industry. Shame on them. Ladies and gentlemen, no one should be forced to get these shots. This is your decision and needs to be your decision alone. We also finished up by talking about please spread the word on Walkout Wednesday. Visit walkoutwednesday.net to learn more. You say, what is Walkout Wednesday? It's an idea that at noon on Wednesdays, you can walk out of your business for lunch or your place of school or wherever you are, where they're trying to mandate vaccinations and say, listen, it doesn't matter whether I'm for or against vaccinations. I'm standing in solidarity with people to be able to have their own choice and not be forced by government or by school or education or business forcing people to take vaccinations. This is a very personal decision of the conscience, decision of the body. Where are the My Body, My Choice people now, huh? I ask you that. Anyway, that's a recap of yesterday's broadcast, still available online at libertyroundtable.com and lovingliberty.net. Spread the word, share the love, will you please? Without further ado, Eldon Stahl with me, field coordinator for the John Birch Society and more. dear friend and co-host. Welcome back, sir.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be back, and great to hear your voice.
What do you think of the big old rant, man? A lot of topics there, huh?
There is a lot going on. It seems like it's hard to keep track sometimes of everything that's going on. The people that seem to want to undermine our liberties are in high gear. So we need to be very vigilant, don't we?
Yes, we do. Money, I think, is a critical issue right now as we spend ourselves into oblivion over Afghanistan. Now we're pulling out, giving them a bunch of military hardware, and now we can't even protect our people as we try to get 15-plus thousand people to flee that country after our 20-year disaster. We'll talk about that in detail with Eldon Stahl. We'll talk about Honest Money with Brian Rust and Eldon coming up here in just a minute. We'll talk about the coronavirus, what's that's all doing, and the lockdowns that they're trying to put on us. We want to talk a little bit about climate change because they're wrapping that all into the mix as well. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a hodgepodge, but whether it's the Taliban tyranny in foreign nations that we claim we want to prevent, or whether it's the coronavirus tyrannical thugs in America trying to steal your rights, trying to force you to vaccinate, force you to have some kind of a certificate of vaccination in America. What's worse, fighting the Taliban or fighting the vaccine ban? Wow. Kind of strange discussions, aren't they? Eldon Stahl with me, Brian Rust coming up as well. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrat. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Eldon Stahl, Brian Rust, RustCreditGift.com. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live. Sir, it's been a while, and thanks for your patience.
Thanks for having me on, Sam. It's good to be back with you, and we're glad you're back on the air.
Yeah, they haven't killed me yet, sir. Come on.
Right.
All right, I want to talk about Honest Money. We haven't had an Honest Money update for quite some time. Where are we at in terms of gold?
The paper market on gold right now is $1,789.50.
$1,789.50.
Correct.
And that's usually considered spot, right?
That's right.
$1,789.50 in that spot, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to understand that because, you know, when you hear spot, you think it's like the legitimate real value of the metal. But it's not at all, as Brian's pointing out. It's basically paper trading stuff. They post a number, but when you really take possession of a lot different story, and that's kind of the discussion point. Let's look at silver, Brian.
Silver, $23.50.
And that's down quite a bit, right? At least in
terms of... Yeah, it's been coming off a little bit. Last couple of weeks it was 25.50, and, you know, we go back and it was 26, 27, 28. You know, we were pushing over $30.
So let's talk about it now so I can get myself one of them brand new 2021 United States minted silver Eagle silver dollars for about $23.50, right?
Nope, you can't.
No, what?
No. Yeah, those things are, I think they're running around the $36 range.
$36 for a $23 value on paper coin that on the front of it says a dollar, right?
Correct.
Y'all need to go ahead and help me understand all that, ladies and gentlemen. It says a dollar. They claim the spot price if it's like $23, but it still takes me $36 to get my hands on one of those babies if I take delivery. Eldon, what do you say to that? Doesn't make any sense.
Isn't the government kind of the master of fraud? They seem to be, don't
Ooh,
they?
Boy, howdy, does that put it in perspective, Brian?
Yeah, I think you hit it right there. I mean, in America, the biggest, aren't we the world reserve currency and the world reserve banking system? And so goes it with the decline of America. So yields its currency, right?
Yes, very concerning for sure. As far as I understand now, we're even having government and others admitting that, man, crypto's a scam. They had a big old crypto scam the other day where a bunch of crypto got stolen, and then people were like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you stole this. Can you please give our crypto back? Did you see this?
I didn't see it, no.
Did you see this, Eldon?
I didn't see it, oh.
Huh. They literally lost a big old bunch of crypto, man, and then like, oh my gosh, can you please give this crypto back instead? We can't have this big, massive amount of crypto stolen. And I'm just thinking, are you kidding me right now? But it just goes to show, ladies and gentlemen, this crypto isn't what, you know, you think that it is. Okay, this crypto is nothing but a fiat currency, just like your fake dollar. And, you know, people believe there's an open blockchain where you can see all the transactions, and it's an open, chain of transactions that are public and controllable. There's still ways to manipulate and steal and take and these cryptocurrencies, ladies and gentlemen. And let me be very clear. As the government backs into cryptocurrency, expect this to be kind of a, what do you want to call it, Brian? Kind of a warning, a wake-up call, a reality check? Right on the onset, remember who's warning you. This isn't going to go well, Brian.
Yeah, I think, you know, they're trying to, whatever it may be, whether it's crypto or whatever other, you know, payment of funds, basically. I mean, I think digital, they're trying to get us to a digital currency and perhaps even do away with cash. But, at that point, I mean, it's, you know, there again, that digital currency is very controlled, right? I mean, it can be very, can one minute you have it in your bank, the next minute you have nothing. Or, you know, just a lot of that kind of thing. Where metal, I mean, at least I can walk down the street, I make trades with this physical currency that I have, and they don't like that.
Eldon, do you want to chime in on this one?
Well, it seems like there's so much going on that we get deceived into buying into these things sometimes, and it's just not so good, is it?
It's disaster. So here's the headline that I was looking for. I didn't have it handy because I saw it and then I kind of laughed it off, but I wanted to grab it again. Here's what it says. Listen to this. $600 million cryptocurrency stolen by a hacker who is not so interested in money. What the heck are we talking about? Yeah, they call it cross-chain DeFi network. Poly Network was the latest victim of hackers who have reportedly stolen $600 million worth of cryptocurrencies, of which $300 million were Ethereum Poly Network. They say the second interoperability protocol backed by the government was founded by the communist Chinese maker, blockchain maker NEO, and the clients of the company are Binance, Ethereum, and Polygon. The company announced via Twitter, "We're sorry to announce that Poly Network was attacked." The team managed to identify three addresses where the money was transferred. They say, "We call on miners of crypto exchanges to blacklist tokens coming for the addresses." Wait a minute. Hold on. Stop now. Stop. How dumb am I? I thought this thing was open source. You couldn't know where the money was coming from and going to. And I thought it was all like cool and transparent, but yet secure and safe. And nobody. Now they're saying we're just going to blacklist these three addresses. Hey, blacklist all the tokens from these addresses. The addresses disclosed by the company showed that among the stolen assets, 2850 were either tokens amounting to $267 million, or they were other coins. Anyway, it goes on and on. But now they're literally telling you flat out, look, not only can we know where this comes from, we can flat out block the addresses where the tokens relate. Well, what happens if you have a big old bunch of crypto, Brian? You're like a crypto richo, right? And all of a sudden, right, they just decide that your addresses are, well, going to be non-tokenized addresses, my friend. How valuable is your cash, baby?
They just changed the whole scenario, didn't it?
Yeah, that's the term. Don't dip your toe in crypto, folks, because you're going to get ripped off, bro. Yeah,
they dubbed it the biggest.
They dubbed it the biggest crypto hack in history back in 2014 when these guys got beat like 6 years ago. People still don't learn their lessons, Eldon.
Seems like they just... Yeah.
Now,
I
listen to this explanation. Check out this explanation. You ready? According to reports, they say the hack was possible on the coin swapping network. Listen to the reason. Because of a cryptography issue. Can you explain to me, Eldon, a cryptography issue?
No, that's something I'm not able to explain. I don't know what cryptography issue is.
Got one of them issues. And let me explain the issue. The government's in control, and they're going to block my token addresses, the addresses that exchange my tokens. Therefore, I'm locked out of the pool. I've got my digital currency that is not exchangeable. Now, do you think I could go to the feds and say, please, unlock my tokenization, please?
Seems like a lot of power to put into somebody's hands, doesn't it?
Yeah. They're also then, I guess there's a way to inform them to not move the block coins so that they're not identified. So if you just hold them still, then people can't discover where they are. But if they move, you can find them, they claim. So now they're paying people to, let's just kind of, it's kind of like, you know, when you rob a bank, then you get done, you go ahead and bury all the cash, you go to jail. No one ever finds out where the cash is, but it's available when you get out. It's kind of like that, Brian.
Well, there you go. So I thought the key to this crypto was that no one could regulate it. It was out there. No one could really steal it, take it. I mean, you could lose it maybe, but no one could really take your... You know, that was the good thing about this, is it was just, it's so secure and no government, nobody knew. That's what I thought.
Now, here's the funny phrase at the end of this article. They basically say all these Bitcoin exchanges are going to go ahead, or all these cryptocurrencies exchanges are going to go ahead and get involved and help out. They're going to really work on this together to get to the bottom of it, but no guarantees. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. You
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Military leaders under the Biden administration were caught off guard when the Taliban overran Afghanistan in 11 days. General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, on Wednesday.
The time frame of a rapid collapse, that was widely estimated and ranged from weeks to months and even years following our departure. There was nothing that I or anyone else saw that indicated a collapse of this army and this government in 11 days.
Milley also pledged to evacuate Afghans who have supported the U.S. military. President Trump weighs in on Newsmax TV Wednesday.
Well, it's inconceivable that anybody could be so incompetent, stupid, use any word you want to use, to imagine that you take out your military before you take out your U.S. citizens and civilians and others that maybe helped us.
USA Radio News.
Nielsen says more than 30 million Americans are now tuning in to Newsmax TV. It's one of the biggest media stories. Newsmax is available on all major cable systems. And if you cut the cord and don't get cable, you can still get Newsmax. Find it on your smart TVs like Samsung, LG, and more. Just go to your smart TV channel guide or download the free Newsmax app. Newsmax also streams free on Roku, Zumo, Pluto, Amazon Fire, or TiVo. And 7 million people have the Newsmax app on their smartphone. It takes seconds to download it on your phone, and there's no paywall or subscription. So watch Newsmax for breaking news anytime, anywhere. President Trump says Newsmax is really good, and Forbes calls Newsmax a news powerhouse. Find out why tens of millions of Americans are watching Newsmax TV and going to Newsmax.com for breaking news. It's a source you can trust. Newsmax is real news for real people.
Speaking only to media ally ABC News on Wednesday, President Biden said U.S. troops may stay past the 31 August deadline to evacuate all Americans and allies from Afghanistan.
We're going to do everything in our power to get all Americans out and our allies out. Depends on where we are and whether we can get ramp these numbers up to 5,000 to 7,000 a day coming out. If that's the case, they'll all be out.
A President Obama-appointed federal judge in Alaska ruled against an oil drilling project in the state, arguing that the Interior Department did not adequately measure the true environmental impact of the project. In her opinion, Judge Sharon Gleason of the U.S. District Court of the District of Alaska argued that the Bureau excluded levels of greenhouse gas emissions in its environmental impact. The ConocoPhillips Willow Project was granted approval under President Trump and was backed by the Biden administration. Thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. We are USA Radio News.
All right. Hard-hitting talk continues. Brian Rust, RustCunningGift.com with me talking about honest money. Eldon Stahl with us. Field coordinator John Burt's Society doing a phenomenal job as always. TheNewAmerican.com as well. We're talking about cryptocurrencies. We're talking about the big scandal. A couple quick more points to make about this. So a $600 million cryptocurrency was stolen by a hacker who's not even so interested in money, mocks the headline. Boy, howdy, is that reality check. They say they're going to blacklist the addresses and the tokenization tied to those addresses so that, you know, you won't be able to move money around. And the hacker mocks them. He's like, I only took a little bit of money to show you guys that it can be done. I'll give some of it back, but have I ruined your project yet? And he kind of mocks them, showing the, in my opinion, the Achilles heel of this thing. Really showing that, you know what, you believe this stuff can't be hacked. You've been suckered right from the get-go. Believe you me, it's hackable. They don't even know who created the first Bitcoin stuff. They're like, some secret engineer somewhere developed this thing. Don't worry, we don't know how it got created or anything else, but what we do know is it's safe and transparent and all good. And now hack after hack after hack, we're finding out that isn't the truth. It's a lie. Well, here's what I find even more fascinating about this thing. You ready? Eldon, I want you to respond, and then Brian will respond to this as well. On one hand, they want you to believe that they don't know who created the first Bitcoin or the first equivalent of cryptocurrency. That person's anonymous, never to be found out. They can't know that. But they can know exactly what transactions you do and tie it to an IP address, tie it to an email address, and tie it to the tokenization of coins. They can track it all down to that to stop you from using your digital currency. But they can't really find out who started this whole thing there. Do you believe all that? Eldon?
That sounds pretty incredible. How is that even possible? I don't know. I guess we could talk about a lot of different subjects, but I find in my experience that there's plenty of people out there that take advantage of the ignorance of people, and they give a fancy sales pitch, and they get their money, they get their support for whatever idea or project they have, and it's to their detriment.
All right, Brad, I want you to sign off on this, though. How can that be? They don't know who started it. You can't really identify who even created the whole thing. But yet, buddy, then they want you to believe it's safe and secure and provable. And then later it's like, hey, we can just decide, Brian, no tokens for you, buddy. You're like what do they call that thing where you get those tokens and you run around and play games and stuff like that? Chuck E. Cheese? You're like at the Chuck E. Cheese Bitcoin deal here. You're at the crypto Chuck E. Cheese, and they're saying no tokens for you, Brian.
Yeah, that doesn't seem fair. That's good. Yeah, I need some tokens. I want to play the game. But, yeah, it seems like there's a lot of people to play the game. And I think, the writing was on the wall here a number of years back. There's a lot of people that made apparently a lot of money from Bitcoin and this, and they went out and purchased big things, houses and big cars and all these things. I think if I recall this right, the government kind of stepped in and said, hey, where's the tax? There's some tax implications based on the amount of money you spent. Where'd you make that money? Where'd you get that? And so the IRS was biting at the bit to get that money back to them. So, and I think they had to pay they made a lot of money, so they had to pay taxes on it. And I think the word basically was the fact of, well, no one knows. You can kind of do this. This is going to be a great thing. Government can't get involved. It's all, it's out there, but no one sees it. Well, I don't think that was the case then, and we're saying it's not the case now. So
Seb of the National Taxpayers Union jumped on the radio with us just a couple of days ago with an alarming alert saying, you know what, ladies and gentlemen, they are going to tax us into oblivion. You think this infrastructure bill's big? You think that the universal basic income is big? You think that they're talking about $9+ trillion of proposed potential spending? Both sides of the aisle engaged in this thing, and we better stop that fiasco while we have the chance. And I'm convinced what they're going to do is they're going to back into this and ramp up the taxation, but they're also going to ramp up the IRS's, I don't know what you want to call it, involvement, and they're going to go after a lot of your savings accounts, a lot of your 401ks, a lot of your, whatever it be, cryptocurrency or whatever else you have your assets in. They're going to go for broke and start freezing accounts and controlling a lot of these things. I'm convinced the crypto and the taxation and the IRS and all this will go into one big economic mix. Some are calling it the Jubilee or the reset, but I'm convinced that it's upon us. Brian, you've got global leaders like Klaus, whatever that wacko's name is, and some of these other people that are literally pushing for this stuff. Brian?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think, and I think people, that's what people have been saying, or I've heard basically, is, what's the underlying things that are coming as a result of this? Is the, major taxation? I mean, another big hit. Yeah, we'll give you money now, but we're coming after it. But, there's going to be some payback, I think it's going to get ugly. Yeah, no doubt about it. That's why I think metals are important, that we have, at least some protecting of some physical in our possession that can offset our losses with the dollar and stocks and every other assets that paper driven.
It seems to me, Brian, that right now what they're kind of saying is, look, come October, surprise, that's coming up. With the economic turmoil of number one, failing in Afghanistan, and inflation raising its ugly head here at home. We're starting to put in the blender a perfect financial storm. Do you think it's true?
Yeah, I do. I think there's some real issues coming ahead. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We're going to see some more than, something bigger than we've seen before. It seemed like, the bailout of these banks, the money was to go in and support a lot of these banks because of bad loans or all these other things. And we can't allow the banks, but man, we can definitely take
we can destroy people. We can put people under our thumb, but these big institutions seem to be continually growing bigger and bigger, and they get wealthier. But I think bottom line is it hurts a lot of the American people and in the, you know, doom and gloom, maybe.
The big deal, Eldon Stahl, is this. You know, we all know that fiat currencies fail. And we all know that every country, historically speaking, that ever has embraced a fiat fake money system eventually goes belly up over it. They eventually, you know what, buy the farm, whatever you want to say. They eventually melt down. And, you know, in America, people have been predicting the meltdown for literally over 100 years, and it has not happened to date. Assuredly, I believe that it will. The problem is this timing discussion. And on one hand, you have everybody telling you the sky is falling. It's going to melt down always. It's coming up. It's right around the corner. It's here. It's there. They're going to pull the plug intentionally. They're going to. Joel Skousen and many others like myself say, you know what? I mean, I appreciate that you think that's going to happen, but they're not ready for that yet. And I don't know when. I think war will be the only time they'll admit to the con game with the money system. Once we're in a war, it's like, hey, the war caused it. We couldn't help it and whatever. So they can escape liability right. And responsibility for it. But really, what do you think? Are we going to look at an October surprise? Is it going to tank on Joe's watch and give Joe the blame? Is it going to last long? You know, what do you think is going to happen? It's really a crapshoot for discussion, except I think it's important in terms of a preparedness point of view.
Yeah, you need to be prepared. Need to, of course, advocate for a return to sound money, because that's the only thing that's really going to save you from that consequence in the end. What happens, though, unfortunately, is with kind of natural laws of economics and things and money, is the longer you delay the consequence, the worse it generally becomes when that finally happens. So that's not really a comforting thought, probably, for your listeners, but that's that's kind of the something to be aware of.
One of the things, Brian, I think that's really important in this discussion is we don't know exactly when. And those who tell you they do know when and timing and this and that and this is coming, and these are the guys that said Trump would be in the White House by now again, right? Okay, he's not, and he won't be. All right, so let's be very clear.
I remember somebody saying that.
We don't have the timing. We don't know everything. What we can do, though, is take what we don't know and set it aside. But we can take what we do know and apply it now. And that's really where I kind of want to spend the rest of the hour here focusing on. We can use what we know now and apply it real time to make a difference in our own lives, for our own individual situations, our families, our community, locally. You know, I don't know when they're going to pull the plug on the economy. But what I do know is this. It isn't just a money discussion. What you want to do is look at your portfolio of stability and safety as part of it is money. Part of it is food. Part of it is shelter. Part of it is clothing and fuel. And okay, we need to look at this a little more holistically. And we need to say it doesn't matter when they pull the plug. Every day they don't is a good day that I can further my interests. I can further my stability. When we come back, let's have Brian and Eldon respond to this. Because I really think this is where the rubber meets the road for you and I as Americans, as patriots, as God-fearing, freedom-loving Americans. You know what? We can improve our own situation in the land of the free. And while we have daylight, let's make hay, baby. Hang tight. Liberty Roundtable, live.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
Eldon Stahl, Brian Rust, and Sam Bushman on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. So I maintain that you don't know when the economy is going to melt down. You don't know about an October surprise. We don't know about all those things, ladies and gentlemen. We are not prophets of God, and we can't predict these things. But we can insulate ourselves, and we can make choices that truly change the game on an individual and a family basis. Brian, let's start there.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I kind of look at it like, you know, common sense or preparations. That's kind of peace of mind, right? So a plan. And if my house is in order, for instance, and there's disasters or there's things that come up or a collapse of our dollar or, you know, our economy and all these things, you know, if my house is in order, then I'm in a good place. You know, I have peace of mind. I'm in a good place, and I'm available to help and bless the lives of those around me because I'm in that place. And so I think that's the key. I think if we put our houses in order financially or, you know, in all, you know, it was kind of like this COVID thing and all this. Everybody rushed to the stores to get the paper towels and the masks and the cleaning fluids and, you know, chemicals and all that stuff. But if I already have that in place and I'm there, I'm not rushing to the store. You know, I've got my house in order, and my neighbor, hey, I can't get any Lysol. I can't get let me help you. I got an extra can here. I've got, you know, I think that's what makes America great.
Eldon, you want to chime in?
Well, I was part of the Boy Scouts for a few years, you might say, and I do remember this motto that they had of being prepared. And that's been a very beneficial thing to follow, the idea of being prepared. We've got to. And part of that is knowing things, being able to be aware of things, but also just having what we need in case the need arises.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think preparedness is key. And let me give you an example. I got the coronavirus, almost died. Hospital two times. It was very brutal. For the first 10 days, I did fine. Then it hit my lungs and it went south from there, okay? And people would say to me, Sam, there's alternative treatments. You should know about them. If anybody should, you should. I know, I get it. I understand all this. What I'm telling you, though, there's a big difference between knowing something fundamentally and being able to execute something. This is a really important kind of discussion to have, ladies and gentlemen. So I knew that ivermectin and stuff like that was the answer for me. But I tried to get doctors to prescribe ivermectin. I couldn't find one that would. They're like, no. Mm-hmm. Then later they're like, oh, ivermectin only helps in the early part of your sickness. It won't do any good now. No, we can't do that. Oh, we don't know about that. Oh, so then you go down to the you know, IFA or whatever, and you buy some horsey ivermectin. And then it's like, oh, man, this stuff's paste. How do I use this? And somebody's like, all you got to do is adjust it for your weight and put it in a nebulizer, Sam. That's all you got to do. It's like, you know what, I'm so dang sick, I can't even sit up. What do you mean go get horsey thing and adjust it to my weight and put it in a nebula? Come on now. Anyway, my whole around-the-barn discussion about this is it's all about preparedness. It's all about our contacts. It's all about developing our relationships and making sure we're prepared. So I failed, as many other Americans who are suffering failed. You've got to have the right knowledge, the right people around you with that knowledge, and the people willing to take action on your behalf. So it literally took me close to 20 days to find the right doctor, to get the right prescriptions, to get everything in line, to be able to carry out the solution that I full well knew existed. What was the problem? Can I blame it on the doctor? Can I blame it on everybody else around me? No. I got to blame it on Sam Bushman. I wasn't as ready and as prepared as I thought I was. I just thought, well, by golly, call a couple of doctor friends and voila, I'll be good to go. Even you call the frontline doctors, though, and it's 5+ days before they even get back to you. Well, that's a lot of trouble breathing in 5 days, ladies and gentlemen. Believe you me. And so anyway, I bring this poignant example up, Brian, today to make this point, whether it be money, whether it be food storage, whether it be medical capabilities or response. This preparedness is one thing that I think we talk a lot about. And I think we think we're prepared, but we don't have time-tested solutions that have been tried and proven, I don't want to say in the battlefield, but you know what I'm saying, in real life. And that's where we need to start to spend our time.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, some of the issues, too, is the fact of it's a learning process. I mean, who knew that this was going to come about? And, it becomes a scary kind of situation because, we as a people, we kind of rely on our governments and so on to make good choices. But sometimes, it seems like some of these things that come about, like these viruses and so on, we don't get the truth from it. So we hear this, and we're pushed to and fro. We're kind of clueless to what's even happening because we're getting both sides this and do this. And it's kind of like the masks and all this other stuff. We haven't had this, they've been saying the sky's falling all this time, and now we're supposed to believe this, and we don't believe that. And then this comes up. Anyway, besides that point, it really kind of throws us in a situation where we're not prepared. I mean, no one was really prepared for this virus or how to even go about it. And we couldn't get the information we really needed to perhaps prepare. And then the system in place that can even help us get to that place. We have to go through the process like you did, that 20 days, the process. And so, yeah, it becomes a kind of a scary thought, for us. And we're trying, I think, to do the best we can. But boy, there's a lot of fake stuff, fake news out there that doesn't really help. And maybe that's their idea, is that you rely on us. We'll take care of you. Here's the vaccines now, and here's this. Just rely on us. Don't do it yourself.
Well, here's the interesting thing. Greg Abbott got his vaccine. He still got the coronavirus. Yeah. Oh, don't worry. That's a very rare breakthrough. Okay, so the Texas governor, just a rare scenario. Okay, got it. I'm with you. But then he's got these special treatments that Donald Trump got that cost like $15,000+. They're supposed to be these special treatments where you get these I don't know what they're exactly how it works, but it's like infusions of antibodies against the COVID virus, and it's supposed to strengthen your immune system and help you recover quicker and everybody else. But none of that stuff's available to me and you, Eldon. None of it.
Right. It's very expensive. That makes it almost impossible for many to get it. And it would be nice if we could, but hydroxychloroquine, how much does that stuff cost? It's just ridiculous amount.
Yeah, 20, 30 bucks, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, 20, 30 bucks, but good luck trying to get it. Somehow, the thing that's been around for 60, 70 years, whatever, is all of a sudden this verboten thing because of political issues.
Now, I find that interesting that the ivermectin that I finally got, it was a 5-day prescription, whatever. You take these five little teeny pills for 5 days in a row. So 25 pills is what it was. Came in little blister packs. I got that plus some doxycycline, which is a antibiotic to kind of help with the other side of the coin there with that. Anyway, both prescriptions together cost like $58. And now, $58 when you're about to die is pretty cheap, right? Pretty inexpensive.
Yeah.
But why are we running around saying the hospitals are overwhelmed, get the vaccines, even though the vaccines have breakthrough whatever, da-da-da-da-da-da. Now we say that the vaccines, you got to have a third dose because they're not safe and effective. And you put all this together and you go, but no one, they're making it almost impossible. If I had been able to get ivermectin from the start, I wouldn't have gone to the hospital two times.
Right.
See, where is the disconnect here? And at some point, you can blame it on the Chinese virus, but at some point, you've got to hold American leaders, whether it be Fauci or Biden or Donald or I don't know who, but at some point, you got to hold our leaders responsible. How can we have that disconnect when people are literally dying and getting super sick and costing millions of dollars in unnecessary hospital stays and everything else. How do we have this disconnect almost 2 years later?
Well, their agenda, isn't it? The agenda of that situation is, okay, well, okay, red tape. Let's just say red tape. Well, we've been told we can't really give this for, you know, you have to be, it's only for maybe the high and mighty, perhaps, if you have the right card, maybe. Who knows? But it seems like it makes it awful hard. And that, you know, we're going to eliminate, yeah, people are going to die, and it's going to eliminate some of the population. That's the way it goes. Sorry, but... Yeah, you're not one of the ones that can have it. I don't know. It's really ridiculous, if you ask me.
Eldon, what do you think? At some point, there's an agenda here, but at some point, you're talking about criminal activity when you withhold these real solutions from people.
Yeah, I would say it ranks as that. I remember learning about, you know, when somebody I loved dearly. She had cancer. I got to learning about this back in the 70s. There was a fight against vitamin B17, Laetrile, whatever you want to call it. And I don't know I'm not an expert on all that. But basically, what happened is the government did all that they could to stop people from getting a very inexpensive way of addressing their cancer. In favor of things that are very expensive, which we're very familiar with, the chemo and the surgery and all of that. Similar thing seems like it's going on with this COVID. They want to push the stuff that's way expensive and the stuff that's just pretty simple that can be beneficial, they certainly have no interest in.
All right, I got a parting headline for you, brother, and I want each of you to be able to respond to it in turn. Let's start with Brian. Brian Rust, listen to this. Deutsche Bank, pretty big bank, right? Deutsche Bank. Yep. Deutsche Bank warns of global time bomb coming due to rising inflation, CNBC with the piece. So you got now Deutsche Bank warning of a global time bomb coming due to inflation. Do you want to respond?
Well, okay. Well, that's one bank. Where's all the other banks? Because they all ought to be saying that and saying, yeah, inflation's already here. I mean, shoot, it doesn't matter where I think you are, but where are all the other banks? It's rising inflation. That's interesting because that's where we're at.
And they say a global time bomb. And what it reminds me of is a freight train a-coming. Is there anything they can do to stop it, to slow it down, to mitigate the... I don't hear any of that in the article. I just hear that it's a-coming. Get ready, say economists.
Well, do they throw these lines out there basically to scare and say, okay, what's our next thing? What Venezuela just came out and said, hey, we're going to have a new digital currency. So
yeah.
They're pushing that out there. So is that the agenda? We scare saying, okay, there's a time bomb coming. We'll help save you, but we got to buy into this digital currency, or buy into this, or this. You know, that's right. It's like the vaccine. The vaccine. Boy, they could create that vaccine just like that and get it out there. But when we need help in getting maybe something that's not very expensive, like the thing that's going to help you, the pill that's going. Yeah, but boy, so here's the scare thought. So yeah, right.
Ladies and gentlemen, all I'm telling you right now is if you believe that Venezuelan cryptocurrency is going to be your savior. Woo, baby. Which would you rather have, U.S. cryptocurrency or Venezuelan cryptocurrency, Brian?
That's right. There you go.
I'll keep my Zimbabwe dollars. My
$100 constitutional currency.
That's right.
Amen to that. Thank you, Brian.
All right. Glad to be with you guys.
It's so good to have our dear brother Brian Rust, RustCreditGift.com, back. Eldon Stahl stays with me second hour. Hard-hitting talk always on your radio for Brian Rust, Eldon Stahl, and Sam Bushman. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.